Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to This is Story of the Week. I am your co-host, Joshua, and today we will unravel stories of success, of struggles, of perseverance, like we do every day. We have guests on here to inspire you and motivate you on your next step in your entrepreneurial journey, your career, your business, but also in life. We have ourselves a well of wisdom today as a guest. Maurizio Liverani is a seasoned entrepreneur. He is a business leader with a track record of success in technology and innovation. He founded and led Alcohol Group and Alcom Group and served as the CEO of Algotech, now Natus Medical. Liverani holds advanced degrees in electrical engineering from Stanford University and the University of Surrey, and he is also a member of YPO Gold and an alumnus of Harvard Business School. From 1991 to 2015, Liverani developed Alcom Group, and today he is with us to share the experience, the rich experience that he's had, and he will share us that wisdom today. Maurizio, thank you for being here. How are you doing?
Thank you. Well, let me start with my claim to fame. After I graduated from Stanford, I have a master and a PhD in EE. And at the time, I was interested in applying engineering to medical problems. Mm-hmm, and it was called medical electronics. Today, you would call it biotech. It would fall into the category of biotech. So my claim to fame was that after I graduated, I moved back to Milan, Italy, worked for a couple of companies. Then I moved back to Palo Alto, to California, and with a colleague of mine. He was the head of the Department of Audiologists at Mass Eye and Ear in Boston, Harvard Medical School. Mm-hmm. We started this company that is still today, Natus, the only company that tests hearing in newborns.
Wow.
And I can brag for a few minutes. This was, we launched it in 84, but it didn't go public until 96.
Okay.
And now it has been delisted about 2 years ago by Archimed. And it was delisted. The value was $1.2 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
It was delisted. Okay. So that's one part of my life. Medical electronics / biotech. Then I have a parallel life, which after this, I went back for family reason. I went back to Milan from California, where I lived for about 11 years. And there I moved away from medical electronics of biotech. I went into network computing. And so I took advantage of all the relationship I had in Silicon Valley to launch in Italy at the time. We're talking about 1990s. Mm-hmm. Tricom, Syscom, Novell, Extreme, all the company that you needed to build a local or a wide area network. Okay.
Wow, of course.
And that was Algol, which was listed first in Brussels and then in Milan. And then for the last 10 years, I'm not a CEO anymore. I don't run any company. I've become an angel investor. And recently, 2 years ago, I joined Skydeck, which is one of the largest accelerators in the world, if not the largest, connected to the University of Berkeley.
Wow.
And I'm on the selection committee. And I'm very proud to be part of Berkeley Skydeck Europe. Because Berkeley Skydeck opened a subsidiary, actually through a partnership with Landlease, here in Milan. So you can go to Berkeley, you can come to Milan, or you can go to Berkeley and Milan. And that's very good.
And wow, and
that's it.
What a storied career you've had and all the experience. So,
and because of the because I'm an angel investor and an advisor, I've in the last 10-15 years I've probably gone through hundreds of startups. You mentioned one which gave me a little bit of money and was a nice exit, was 30 Seconds to Fly.
Yes.
30 Seconds to Fly. I was not the founder, but I was their chairman. I'm still their chairman. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, I forgot whether it was 21 or 22, but it was in the middle of COVID. And the mission of 30 Seconds to Fly was to replace a travel agent
right.
with the chatbot.
Wow.
And this was way before
uh-huh.
anything that has happened.
Exactly.
And in the middle of COVID, which, uh-huh. you know, talking about investing into a travel business was very, very critical.
Of course.
Ricardo, who, the CEO, managed to sell it to mm-hmm. American Express Global Business Travel.
Right. Okay.
So that's another success story that I have. After Natus, I would add this. And yeah, and then I've had some other exit, but minor ones. And that's it. So I'm trying to keep busy. And you mentioned what is my philosophy of life. Well, uh-huh. I like to cite Mahatma Gandhi, which is
yes.
live as if you were to die tomorrow, learn as if you were to live forever.
That's beautiful.
And that's me.
And that is
I'm not sure that I live as if I were to die tomorrow. That I'm not sure. I don't want to be hypocritical, but definitely I want to stop learning few milliseconds before I die.
Well, Mauricio, the achievements you have made, the life that you have lived so far, you definitely are living forever, right? You want to keep learning. You will live forever for all the achievements that you've made.
That's good.
No. What I mean is you will live forever in the sense of the legacy that you will leave behind. You just mentioned to us all the notches in your belt. You mentioned to us Natus Medical, first manufacturer of infant auditory brainstem response screeners, probably the only in the world, like you said. You mentioned to us all these startups. You mentioned Skydeck, and you know you also mentioned 30 Seconds to Fly. And again, these aren't small feats. These aren't any just small feats, right? These are big feats that many of our audience and listeners dream to be. Startups, going big, and then doing a startup once again. And these are many of the things that our audience and listeners love to listen. Mauricio, tell us a bit about the differences of having startups back then when you started, 10, 20 years ago, and to the difference of and challenges that you're facing now. What would the biggest difference be?
The biggest challenge that I see, but actually we've gone back a little bit. This is, I would say, prior to COVID, but then COVID helped us reset many, many principles. With all due respect, until COVID, you could start a Uber, a Tesla,
yes,
an Airbnb,
yes,
and all you had to say, you had to have a great idea. You know, acquire as many users as possible. Uh-huh. I didn't care whether you were losing money for every acquisition you were making,
mm-hmm.
but I was looking at the customer as an asset.
Yes, of course.
And so I value that. So from an income statement point of view, you could burn a lot of money acquiring users,
mm-hmm,
but the return was that when I was gonna sell this to some companies.
Right.
I was gonna sell this as an asset, so I was gonna recover all the deficit, the losses.
Right.
I think that thing has changed today.
Yes.
So today, more and more VCs, angel, they say, okay, you have a good idea. Show me your minimal viable product. So you must have a prototype of some kind, and more important, show me that you have at least a couple of customers with whom you have developed this idea, whether it's hardware, software, so which has a great value, because first of all, if you develop an idea top down without talking to the market,
yes,
which is the typical mistake that many startups still do today.
Yes,
they have an idea. I made the same mistake times when I was a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
In Silicon Valley, they define this situation. It's a solution in search of a problem.
Yes.
So you come up with a solution and then you say, who am I going to sell this to?
Yes.
And why should they buy it? And when are they going to buy it?
Mm-hmm.
And how much they're going to pay?
Yes.
Okay. Today, I think that the fact that we've gone back to the roots, which means Joshua could be my customer.
Of course.
He has a problem. I'm trying to solve his problem.
Yes.
Then I try to say, okay, I don't want to solve just a problem that is specific to Joshua. I want to see that there are many Joshua.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that approach is very healthy,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
that has made money, raising money, financing very difficult.
Of course. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Very difficult. So, and because you can go back that if you have an idea and you need to develop the technology and you need to build the prototype and blah, 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 who's going to finance all of this? Because you just have an idea on a piece of paper. Okay.
Of course.
But then you have the cases of OpenAI. They raised as a nonprofit hundreds of millions of dollars just on an idea. So it is still possible, but you need to have that credibility.
Yes.
And in the case of OpenAI that I'm mentioning, the people that started OpenAI had the track record that has done.
Of course.
Okay, so it was a little bit easy for them to convince other, or like, Elon Musk when he started Tesla. But so unless you have a track record today, you have to start from the customer, from the market.
From the market.
That's my, if you distill everything I say, it boils down to start with the market need.
Okay.
Which means who is your customer, why should they buy, and when, and at what price.
Yes, of course. And it does sound like previously it was a little bit more reckless. Because, there is so many money being thrown around. And now we're going back to the roots, because after COVID, we're all thinking like, wait, we need to step back.
But you said it. Before COVID, the interest rate was zero, if not negative.
Right.
So borrowing money was free.
It was everywhere.
Now the interest rate is what they should be. So raising money, investing money, you have an interest, you have to give a return.
Precisely.
And we have gone back to the basic of economics, which is this business profitable and sustainable? But this has created a huge filter.
Right,
for all the people that don't have a track record. You're fresh out of school, from college, you have a fantastic idea, and so how do you fund the first phases? And that's why you need angel investor, you need incubator, accelerators.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I mean,
of course.
But
But also you can't bullshit your way anymore, right? You're not a fresh.
No. And that's exactly what I tell people. When people come to me, I say, listen, starting a startup is like Christopher Colombo, he started from Portugal. He didn't know what he was going to find.
Precisely.
So you have to be adventurous, crazy, but at the same time, you have to be tough.
Exactly.
Nothing will give you anxiety.
Precisely.
Okay? And you're going to be, okay, so, but it's a lot of hard work.
Of course.
To start the company. So people that want to start the company because they've read that it's an easy way to get rich,
mm-hmm.
I say you are delusional.
Of course. Absolutely. So
forget about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're passionate, so it's an art. It's like if you're passionate about being a singer or an actor, you should stick to that. But But the selection,
right?
It's very tough. It's a tough
Sure.
competition.
And it's almost like a good school, a good way of filtering out the really good ones, the really good investors. So it's not just everyone throwing money at anything right now. Mauricio, so now you mentioned that you need to have a solution for the market. You need to know exactly what you're offering these customers before you get investors in. What are the major factors? If I were, for the audience and listeners, I am also a startup example, for example. What would be the biggest advice you would say when it comes to offering solutions and now pitching that to investors like yourself? How would I be able to bring myself forward and convince you?
Well, two ways. First of all, if it's an incremental solution, incremental solution, which means you're improving something that already exists.
Yes.
You're improving something that already exists. This is a theory which is well covered by a professor at Harvard University, Christensen.
Yes.
It's called the innovation dilemma or innovator dilemma.
Yes.
You better sell this to the incumbent.
Right. Of course.
Because if you're investing in an incremental solution, the incumbent is going to win.
Precisely.
The incumbent is the guy that doesn't have that solution, but he controls, he owns the market, the incumbents.
Beautiful.
So if you want to, unless the other way is that you have a very solid disruptive solution, which means that nobody has thought about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Airbnb is a good example. Airbnb was not improving the hotel management.
Yes.
Was totally different model. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you are disruptive that way.
Yes.
So you have to make sure that you have to assess, is your solution an incremental solution or a disruptive solution?
Right.
Which is not easy sometimes.
Of course.
I've given you an example where it's clear.
Of course.
What is disruptive, but there are things where might look disruptive, but they are not really
not
that
really
disruptive.
Disruptive. And these are where you're filtering also like people who doesn't quite understand that concept.
Okay,
They think it's disruptive.
But there again, if you have a solution which is an incremental solution, so you're improving whatever, even ChatGPT.
Of course.
I'm not saying you should not go forward.
Yes.
But you have to be very clear that you have to almost probably partnering or sell it to an incumbent.
Yes, of course.
You should go forward. It is still a business. It is a business.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that it's going to become a unicorn.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's fair. And because it's not every idea is going to be that unique, unique selling point. But I think that's where what you said, that you have to be tough, because you have to be accepting that your idea is not always going to be that unicorn, but you have to have, if it's incremental solution, then you keep on improving it, right? But not everything is going to be disruptive and not everything is going to shake the industry. But then that is where your resilience as a real startup entrepreneur comes in.
But the other advice that I can give, and you know, it sounds like a contradiction. It is a discontinuity in a way. So in a way, if you want to be a startupper, you have to be passionate, believe in what you're doing,
of course,
and don't let anybody disappoint you. I mean,
precisely.
Discourage you. Okay, on one hand, but at the same time, you have to know when to draw the line.
Of course,
and not to be stubborn. And
of
not
course.
To pursue something that is not going to be
not working
well.
Precisely.
So you have to know when to pivot.
Precisely. And Mauricio, you are a perfect example of that. You wouldn't have gone through all these startups if you didn't know when to go, when to stop, and when to realign yourself.
But it's not easy. It's not psychologically, and that's where you help the start, even in any company, to decide, when do you decide that this is enough and I should either pull the plug or change it? shift to something else.
Yes, and chances are it's because it's emotional, it's your baby, it's hard to
And it's your baby, you've invested a lot of your time and money, and so you have responsibility to the investor. So it sounds easy, but it's not that easy. But there is a point where if you don't switch, you don't pivot or pull the plug, you're dead.
Okay, Mauricio, speaking of time, as much as I would love to keep you here longer, your wisdom has been immense in this very short time. That is just a gold treasure of advice that you have given the audience and listeners just right now. First off, I want to give this opportunity. Where can we find you? Where can we connect with you? And what does the future hold for Mauricio Liverani?
The future, I'm not sure about. Well, I would like to,
please,
to be like this for another 5-10 years. This the same way that you can find me on LinkedIn, Maurizio Liverani, PhD, Milan. I don't think they're gonna. And my email is maurizio.liverani@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
And you can check me out as an advisor of Skydeck in general, but Skydeck Europe.
Well, fantastic. I invite our audience and listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. Maybe reach out to you on email if they need advice. Is that okay, Mauricio?
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
Mauricio, it has been a quick, short ride, but very, very valuable. I don't think I've ever had a guest that has given so much value in such a short amount of time. I'm not lying. I'm quite impressed. It shows that your experience is here. I would love to have you on for a longer show if you're open to that. But for today, thank you so much for your time, Mauricio.
Thank you, Joshua. It was a pleasure.
Fantastic. And to all our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right, so here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.